we introduce Patrick McDonald, I just have to ask Kim a quick question in the newsroom. When introducing you, I just said Kim. Of course, I know your last name is Gordon.
I know. I was a little taken aback by that. I was like, wait, is he going to say something else?
Someone's getting thrown under the bus.
No. I want to make sure that it's okay. In the interest of time, I thought I'll just say Kim. We'll save ourselves a half of a second right there, and we'll have more time to goof around.
But it's not because it said Steve on your thing?
It always says Steve on the sheet, even when it's Kim. But I looked up and I saw that it was Kim. But I just thought, let's just make it more personal right now and just say Kim. That's fine. But yeah, there was a pause, and I apologize.
Right, no problem. I thought you were gonna say something else, and that's
it. Did
why
sound I, like you weren't finished?
Yeah,
no, I was finished.
Just cut it off at Kim and
All right, we'll do it that way. Thank you, Kim and Kim Gordon, and happy anniversary to you and your husband.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick is the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's also the chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. How are you, Patrick? Nice to see you.
Good, Bill and Wendy.
Thank you for being here.
Hello, Pat.
Hello.
We're a couple weeks removed from the Academy Awards. They're on at the end of February.
Yes.
And I know you wanted to discuss this. There is a backlash going on for the movie that is favored to be the top winner of the Academy Awards, La La Land. What's going on there?
Well, basically, it's about the separation between those who nominate films in Los Angeles and film critics themselves and the actual audience who goes and sees them. Now, this happens a lot during the Academy Awards season, that something will come out of the Golden Globes and it will be highly hyped, a la 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 Land. And
it's hard to say.
There you go. And the general audience picks up on it. It expands to 2,000 screens, as La La Land did. And suddenly they're like, well, what is the deal here? Yeah. Why is this getting so much hype? And in fact, the Washington Post kind of put some reasons together. And the first one, the movie's a little dull. It kind of in the middle kind of gets a little sticky.
There's
a lull.
Is a lull in the middle of La La Land.
Not dull, lull.
La La Land. That's what the middle should have been called, La La Land.
I still really enjoyed it immensely.
I loved it.
And again, I did too. And I think, again, just like everything else, it's about, your own personal perspective on things. But, audiences, especially around Academy Award time, your typical moviegoer wants to be in on it. They want to be in on what's going on. And oftentimes they are surprised when they go and see the actual film and they're like, what is the hype about this?
All right. But how often is the movie that's the most popular movie of the year also the Academy Award winner for best film? That
Not
doesn't
often.
Happen very often.
Not often.
Last year, the winner was The Revenant, which I thought was the best movie of the year. It's the best movie I saw all year.
It's a really intense, interesting film, but...
But that had mixed. There were a lot of people going, this is the best movie of the year? And then other people went, of course it is. What else could beat this movie?
Well, you have tastemakers in L.A. They're the nominators. They're the eventual voters. And tastemakers aren't exactly in tune with the general movie population in my viewpoint over the last 8 years as a critic. And I get a lot of, you hear from people, my dad especially, he just doesn't understand all the, he really imbued my love for movies because he loved movies himself, but he doesn't analyze them. He said, why are you overanalyzing them so much?
Yeah. But that is your job. You're a film critic,
right.
So you kind of have to.
Well, this is even before my job.
Oh.
So.
All right.
We've had this discussion for years.
But I'll tell you what, when Wendy and I have talked about this a couple times, the movie that won Best Picture 2 years ago was a movie called Birdman.
Yes.
And that was the worst movie I saw 2 years ago. I hated that movie. Every second of it was
awful. I didn't
awful.
Love it either.
Awful.
Well, there you go.
So it's always going to be down to personal taste, but is it fair to say the people who nominate these movies aren't a good representation of the general public?
I think it's fair to say that, yes. They are awash in movies. The members of the Academy are movie people.
Right.
And critics are movie people. So, that's a different kind of animal than a general, going to the movie type person like my father.
Yeah.
So, It's a fine line, and it's a balancing act.
But their voices can certainly be heard. They have the People's Choice Awards, and they have the MTV
That's true.
Movie Awards, where people get to vote on those. So if you think your voice isn't being heard through the Hollywood with the Oscars, follow the other award shows more.
And I think the Oscars are a good indication, too, of what people are you know, the experts or whatever you want to call them, are wanting to get out to the people, you know, the type of movies that, hey, maybe you should give this a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe it will change your life, or maybe it will, you know, make you a happier person.
We've talked a little bit about Casey Affleck's side story.
Yes.
Casey Affleck is nominated for Manchester by the Sea. For people who don't know, you can Google his story. He had some ugly episodes a couple of years ago with some women. And there's
Has he talked about that? Has he fessed up?
Well, actually, they did a little profile of him on the CBS Morning Show on Sunday, and that topic was brought up. But I don't think he said much about it.
These cases were settled out of court.
Exactly.
Yeah. So will this hurt his chances? He does a great job in Manchester by the Sea, but it does kind of temper your opinion of him knowing what's gone on in the past. Does this hurt his chances of winning an award?
Well, this is an interesting question because we can compare it to the film Birth of a Nation this year, where Nate Parker got some backlash and then was overshadowed once the nominations came up at the end of the year. And, you know, a lot of people out of Sundance especially were saying, this is the film of the year. And suddenly the stuff about his past, having been, again, involved in a situation where it was an assault on women, but his was kicked out of court.
Yeah.
But his partner in the film actually did have to have a settlement. Now, I don't know. I don't think that this thing with Affleck is going to affect his chances. I think he is the odds-on favorite to win the Best Actor.
Did you notice, though, that at the Screen Actors Guild Awards over the weekend, he came on to present with the actor who plays his nephew in Manchester by the Sea, and the reception for him was lukewarm. Did you notice that?
Not really.
No.
I didn't take into consideration the reception there. But that's
I just wonder if there are people that are a little leery of him with the story.
And Denzel is coming on, so it's possible he's an audience favorite, and it's possible that they would give it to him to honor that he both directed
for Fences.
Right.
Did you like Fences, Bill?
I thought Fences was a very average movie.
Yeah.
Did you see it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Denzel Washington's performance in it is spectacular.
Well, I wouldn't call
it spectacular.
My feeling about that film is somebody else needed to direct it.
Not Denzel Washington.
Not Denzel Washington. Even though he had done the play, I think he was prejudiced by doing the play. You couldn't translate the staginess of it to a cinematic form.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else who had some expertise in that could possibly have taken that stage play with the same actors and made it more cinematic.
Yeah.
It didn't, even though they set it in Pittsburgh and filmed it in Pittsburgh, it didn't feel like Pittsburgh. It could have been any back lot in Hollywood.
95%, if not more, of the movie takes place on the exact same set, the yard into the front part of the house.
They actually bought a house and completely renovated it to make it look older and into the 50s.
Yeah.
So they did buy a house in Pittsburgh and created that situation.
The writing is sharp. It's a guy, August Wilson, who's done other stage shows in the past, and his writing is great, and the acting is really good, but you feel like you were just watching a play, not so much of a movie, which is fine, but it did, I don't know, it didn't have the wow factor.
You guys are tougher because you're more, but seriously,
yeah,
you're way more into film and know more about it. You just even bringing up the writing and knowing who wrote it, it's like, you know, most people just go watch a movie. And,
another example of the audience versus the people who know movies.
Yeah, makes sense.
Good point.
A quick break and then more with Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to be a part of the show. Patrick McDonald is film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com and chief guide for the ChicagoFilmTour.com. Go to the website. Find out what you need to do to get involved in this. You'll love it.
Yep.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yes, it is.
You have
big
some
whip. I am so sick of it.
This is scientific, Wendy.
Vermin,
you can't say no to science.
Don't drive angry.
It's not working.
I agree with you.
It is the dumbest thing, and I think we should stop it.
We should stop paying attention to it.
But I loved the movie.
And, you know, traditionally, we all look forward to those fat men in hats.
At Gobbler's Knob. Please.
I don't know that you can say that on the radio, Wendy. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to say that. you have some facts about the movie
I
Groundhog
do. There's a couple of them I wanted to. There is a controversy about exactly how many days he went through. The director.
This is Bill Murray's character.
I'm talking about Harold Ramis. He thinks it's 10 years, or he has expressed that it's 10 years.
Yeah.
And then there are other websites that have gone and calculated it to be 8 years, 8 months, and 16 days.
So this is how many times the character relived that day.
Right, relives that day. All now, in the film, there's actually only 38 days depicted.
Yeah.
But here it says that it could be up to 12,403 days.
Based on
or
what?
Or just under 34 years. Because he became a master piano player.
Oh,
and
right.
Apparently there is a note.
Some people have too much time on their hands,
script.
If I may just add that.
No, you're right. You're right.
So that takes time, more time than.
This is a website called Obsessed with Film who figured out that it was 12,403 days. Can you imagine? And one of the notes in the script, which didn't come out in the movie, was that he read a page a day at the local library and got through the entire collection of books in the library, which was
that's interesting.
Why he was able to come up with those wacky kind of. How about some of the people who are considered? This is interesting. Tom Hanks, Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and John Travolta. Were considered for the role.
All for the part that Bill Murray
right,
ended
Bill
up playing.
Right, Bill Murray ended
really?
Up playing. But they were all considered too nice by Harold Ramis. I guess that was before Chevy Chase became a little meaner.
Bill Murray's pretty perfect for that role, I
gotta
tell you.
Yeah, you can't imagine anybody else.
I really can't.
Now, this is the movie. If people don't know this, they will in a minute. Bill Murray and Harold Ramis were close for many, many years.
Yes.
And then there was a rift between them, and it was because of Groundhog Day. The perception is this a comedy or a drama? And they differed on that, right?
Yes. And in fact, Bill Murray got so exasperated about the direction that Ramis was giving him, he would just say, is it Mean Phil or Nice Phil?
Yeah.
Whenever they would shoot. And he was also going through a divorce at the time. And
Bill Murray was.
Bill Murray, yes. And he kept bothering Ramis during the filming of this because of this situation in his personal life. And Ramis sort of sloughed him off to the screenwriter.
Yeah.
That's why he shouldn't work with friends.
Yep.
Sorry, Bill.
No, it's all right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Exactly. And
seems bad that they couldn't.
That caused a rift between them for years.
For many years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did they make up before Harold passed away?
They did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, people always wonder, well, what happened to that ghost? But they were going to make another Ghostbusters, but that was one of the things that was getting in their way was this fight that went on for forever. Yeah.
What did you think of Murray's role in the new Ghostbusters?
Haven't seen the new Ghostbusters.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yet.
It's on my list of movies to ignore.
I will see it eventually.
Are you going to see it?
Bill Leff's list of
Dylan
movies to
Dylan liked it.
To
Jim
ignore.
Liked it. I mean, didn't love it, but it was
I liked it, didn't love it. You know, again, it was Paul Feig, and
he's funny.
He's funny, but I don't know why he was directing this film.
Right.
Ultimately, you know, because there was a certain aspects of it that was like him, but overall it was just a big special effects extravaganza.
Don't you fear, you know, they're making another Ocean's 11 movie and they're doing it with an all-female cast, much like they just did with the Ghostbusters. So don't you think that if this new Ocean's 11 with an incredible cast.
What would Sinatra say about that?
Well, he would not be happy. But don't you think that if this one doesn't do well, because the Ghostbusters movie with an all-woman cast did not do very well.
No, they canceled all the sequels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is it all riding on what happens with this new Ocean's 11 movie? It is, right?
The Ocean's 11 concept, for one thing, is, why are people really pining for that anymore?
The first one was good.
Didn't see the
and
remake.
Then it watered, like a lot of movies, a little watered down.
I like the first remake. In fact, actually, the original is incomprehensible. I defy anybody to watch
the original
Rat Pack version and understand it, but okay.
It was just friends making a movie. They didn't care.
I think they should remake Summer of 42, and you should star in it, Bill.
I would like to be in a remake of Summer of 42. I would.
Was
it
Hermie or Oski?
I would play a dual role. I would be Hermie and Oski.
See?
That digital effects would be.
I like
that.
It.
I'd wear a funny mustache for one of them and not for the other one. Patrick, we only had a minute or two.
All right.
There are a couple movies coming out, and The Comedian is the Robert De Niro movie that people are saying, uh-oh, what happened here?
What did happen here? There is way too much plot in this thing. I think if they would have just stuck with the fact that he was a down-and-out stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, stand-ups are interesting people. They are possessed of many kind of personality quirks. And they just kind of got away from that. They had to have a relationship with Leslie Mann, mm-hmm. 25 years his junior. They never developed that. And there's a lot of things that happen where they keep going for scene after scene after scene after scene. And you're just like, stop.
Two out of five.
Yeah.
Even a guy who is Robert De Niro, you can only do so much, right?
I guess, but the stand-up itself is pretty darn good, and he does develop a character with the stand-up. Jeffrey Ross is on the writing team on this, and it was a story that came up, and there's three other writers, so they're just throwing things at it. You know, I don't think there was any rhyme or reason to how they developed the screenplay, unfortunately. So,
and then the other movie, we have so little time, but The Space Between Us.
2.5 out of 5.
What is this?
Literally star-crossed lovers, Asia Butterfield and Britt Robertson, too young. I thought it was like one of those young adult fiction series.
Yeah.
I really did, like, but this is a made-up, completely new movie. And, you know, it even had the sequel, Itis, at the end. But 2.5 out of 5. I wasn't the audience. I think kids will like it, or teens will like it, if they know nothing about science, medicine, or Law and Order.
Oh. Fair.
Good to know.
I stole that line from last night from a critic.
So. Patrick, thank you for being here. That's Patrick McDonald. He's the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. That's his website. And also chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com.